Well, what am I going to talk about this morning? I had thought that I was going to talk about one thing, which I kind of outlined a bit, I think, to Penny. And struggle as I did, it just didn't come together. And so I went back to thinking about what Penny had told me, that the themes of what it is that you are exploring as a church at the moment. And that was, you're exploring about seeking God's presence and seeking and knowing God at the moment. Is that right? Okay. So, I started all over again and thought about those words. Seeking God. And the first thing that came to mind was that before we seek God, we have to recognize that we need him. Nobody's going to be seeking him if they haven't got a need. And so, instead of having a reading at the beginning, you're going to hear from God's word throughout what I'm saying. Never done that before. I've only ever preached in an expository way, taking a passage of scripture and trying to unpick it, but it's not like that today, I'm afraid. So here goes. I'm going to read a little bit from Jeremiah, bearing in mind that we're talking about seeking at the moment. The prophet Jeremiah was talking to God's people who'd been exiled in Babylon for 40 years. It was not the place that they wanted to be, although he had told them that they needed to settle down and seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which they'd been carried in exile. But then he went on to say this from Jeremiah 29. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then this is the important verse. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. They weren't in a good place. It wasn't 40 years, it was 70 years, I realised as I read that. They longed to be home. You know the song about on the rivers of Babylon, when we cried out to God, that's where they were at. And there was a certain desperation, wasn't there? There must have been. Why are we in this place? and not where we're meant to be. And so often, then as now, the times when we really seek God, when we really cry out to him, or when we come to the end of our own resources, when there's nothing more that we can do about our situation. Think back for a moment to a time where that's been your experience. Maybe there's been sickness in your family. Maybe you have a health problem that there seems to be no answer to. Maybe you're really unsure what to do in a situation. And certainly, I know that's when I really seek the Lord. And I seek him with my whole heart. Not a casual seeking, but a desperate seeking, really. And then a bit more about seeking from Luke's Gospel this time. Luke 11 and verses 5 to 13. No, I've got the wrong reading there. No, I haven't. Luke 11 and verse 9. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." They're promises. They're promises we can claim. And then Jesus went on to talk about which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then know, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will, and here's the interesting bit, how much, not how much more will God give you everything you ask for, not that. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Sometimes our prayers don't get answered in the way that we want them to be. But the promise of God is that when you ask and seek and knock, he will give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is sometimes to comfort, sometimes to help you cope with a situation, sometimes to give you that peace that is not of the way the world gives it. It's a peace that only God can give. And that's what God promises when we ask and seek and knock. And then a reading from Hebrews 11. I thought I had all these marked, but I obviously lost a few along the way, so bear with me for a minute. Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, which, as many of you will know, is the great chapter on faith in the Bible, with a whole list of all the people throughout the Old Testament who believed God and were faithful, and God was faithful to them. And this is what it says, Luke 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so, as people of faith, it pleases God when we seek him. It's what he wants us to do, because he knows just how much we need him. And the list of people that follow from Abraham right the way through, they all had some very difficult times in their lives. And they would have sought God with their whole heart for what they were to do. So, seeking God's presence is obviously something we're meant to do. And I have to confess that when life is going along smoothly, I spend less time seeking him. And I know that that should be different. So then the next part was knowing God. How can we know God? Well, we can know about him in the same way that I know about Prince William or Mary Berry or the Prime Minister. Know a bit about them because I see them on the TV. I read about them in the newspaper or online, and I listen to them on the radio. So yes, I do know a little bit about them for sure. But do I really know them? I think not. I just know a little bit, what they're prepared to let me see. And many people in this country, I believe, know God like that. They kind of know a bit about him. He's there somewhere. But that's not how it's to be for God's own people. He wants his followers to really know him, not just know about him. So another reading, this time from Matthew 18. And the first four verses. The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless you change and become like little children. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and think back to when you were 4 or 5 years old. Who knew you? And who did you really know best? For most of us, the most likely answer would be our mum and dad. So why was that? Well, the likelihood is that they were the people with whom we spent the most time. The people we lived with every day. The people who knew us when we were cranky, excited, upset, happy. We were in a living relationship with them. And to some extent as well with our other relations, our brothers and sisters, grandparents, aunties, uncles. You can open your eyes now. I think that gives us a clue about how we are meant to know God. Right now, here and now. He has made himself known to us. He's done that in many ways. Through creation. Through loving relationships. Primarily through the Bible. But you know, it is our choice, and he gives it to us, the choice of how much time we will spend in his company. And you know, there's never been more opportunity to do that. There are Bible apps and commentaries on our phones and our iPads. There are hymns and songs in playlists that we can put on our phones. There's services that are made available through YouTube and podcasts. But, and here's a very big but, so many other things are readily available in just the same way. And God gives us choice. Will we spend time with him? Really get to know him through his word? Or will we let other things take priority and crowd him out? I have to confess that I find this extremely challenging, even in retirement, when theoretically, at least, I should have more time to spend with him. But I have to confess that it's when I'm preparing a talk like this that he gets far more of my attention and my time. And the reason for that is because I know that I can't do it on my own. I need him. And loving Father that he is, he does help me through his Holy Spirit, and he never has me standing in front of a crowd of people with nothing to say. But you know, in my heart, I want to give him more time simply because of who he is. To enjoy his company without having an agenda. And so thirdly, I'm going to think of ways in which we can apply what he's saying to us this morning. How can we seek God and know God every day of our lives? This is a true story. I knew of a Christian girl who was a student at university, and on her wall in her room, she had a poster which said, "No God, no breakfast." Think about it. And that really challenged me when I heard that. I have been in the habit for many years now of, when I open my eyes, just thanking God for a new day. But I thought, I really need to do a bit more than that before I have my breakfast. And so things change, don't they, as life goes on. But at the moment, and for the last few months, I've also realised that not only do I need God before breakfast, but I need a bit of exercise as well. And so I've got a little exercise routine that I do to the song, "The Goodness of God." It's a wonderful song. "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good." And the exercise fits in with the words. It's wonderful. "All my life you have been faithful," and I can praise him. And then it goes on to say, "He's running after me." And that's when I'm lying down doing some, knees to elbows exercises. The whole thing only takes about 6 minutes. But I do feel great after that. Not just because I've exercised my body, but that I've been thinking about God's goodness to me. And so I commend that to you. You might not want to do the exercise part, or you can do it in a very gentle way. But so that's one thing that we could do. And then there's Bible reading notes. Bible in a year we can get. Or we could choose a book and work through it with a commentary. There's so much available. Ways to help us. And the reason it's important to do that, and I don't think it should ever become a chore, "I've got to do my Bible reading today." It shouldn't be like that. It needs to be something that we approach with anticipation of what God might be going to say to us today. And it really helps to remember with gratitude that the Bible reveals to us everything we need to know about God's character. His love, his compassion, his faithfulness, his justice. And as we read of those things, it helps us to turn what we've read into prayer. And it means our time with God can be a rich and beautiful time, a time of blessing. We need as well to give him time to speak to us, not only through his word, but maybe in pictures, as he does sometimes, or in the thoughts that come as we're reading from his word. And then there's something that's really important to me, and that's music. What are the hymns that really speak to you? And today, we're able to make playlists. We don't have to get up and put the CD in the machine and then find another one. And I've got playlists that some are joyful for when I'm happy. Some are for times when I'm feeling sorry for myself. That lovely one that we sang at the end there, remind me. "It is well with my soul." Wow. When I think of the guy that wrote that, who lost his whole family. I do know the story, but it's gone from my mind at the moment. He had so much sadness in his life. And yet, he wrote a song like that and said, "No matter what, it is well with my soul because God is with me." So when I feel sorry for myself, it's good for me to hear a song like that and remember who wrote it and why he wrote it, and that it can be well with my soul too. Sometimes I need songs of encouragement. Sometimes I feel downhearted. There are songs to meet every human condition. And it's worth spending time making yourself a few playlists for when you need them. And there's things you can listen to on the radio. I try to listen to the daily service. Generally, while I'm having my breakfast, I hear what was on the day before. Or thought for the day, or prayer for the day. They're all on Radio 4. You can get them by going into BBC Sounds. You don't have to listen to them in real time. Then we can pray the news as we watch it, or read it, or listen to it. Instead of becoming downhearted about what's going on in the world, remember that it is God's world, and he has a plan for it. And he is going to bring it to completion. And one day Jesus will return. And so we can pray through the news, asking for God's will to be done. We could use our earphones, which is something that I do if I have my boring walk to the shops. I don't use earphones if I'm walking in a lovely place because I want to listen to the birds and hear the sounds that are around me. But it's a boring walk. Have your earphones with you and play some of the music that you've got on one of your playlists. And then I believe that we can know God by spending time outside with him in creation. It's his creation and he means us to enjoy it and be in awe of it and delight in it. This weekend, I don't know how many of you might have done this, but it's the Great British Bird Watch. And so I sat and watched the birds in my garden yesterday and marvelled at the variety of what I saw, including a jay. And that one wasn't even on the list to tick, so I had to write it in at the bottom. But just to spend time observing. What is this life if full of care we have no time to stand and stare? We can walk in the countryside, by the river, by the sea. And when we do that, it renews us. God renews us. As he delights us through our senses and reminds us of his goodness. And it's good, I believe, to reflect at the end of the day when you go to bed, before you go to sleep, and remember with God those things that have blessed you and thank him for them. Remember those things that maybe made you troubled or feel sad. Maybe there's something which you need to confess before him. Times when you feel perhaps you've let him down. And we can just talk to him about all those things. And ask him then to give us his Holy Spirit. And the peace that that will bring. And then we can sleep. And we sleep better when we do that. The old hymn writers, knew all the same things that the new hymn writers know today. I think often of the words, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And so, I hope that's given you some thoughts of how you might seek him, of how you might know him in the present day. He's always ready to be found when we seek him. And he's always ready to let himself be known to those who do. Amen.